But I live under a different recognition that what I say can't be just what I wanted to say.
That's right.
As I preach His Word, I have to say what I believe that He wants said. And that's where I need your prayers. That's where I covet your prayers. That's where I invite, and not just invite, I ask you to pray for me, because I need to be able to bring a word to you that will fill you spiritually, at least for a few moments. I don't believe that the word I give you is a full meal that'll get you through a whole week. I believe that's your responsibility. I believe that's something that you should go home and you should dig in to what the Lord says. Amen? Amen, everybody else? Thank you. I can't lift all of that. That's a load I can't lift. I'll just tell you, I can't do that. But what I can do is believe for these minutes that we have together. Somebody asked me last night. We had some friends over to the house, and they're in ministry, the wife asked me, she said, how long do you typically preach on Sunday? I said, 30, 35 minutes. Everybody in my family protested. They're like, what? I said, once I get started, chop off the front part and chop off the enclosing for sure. I told y'all a few weeks ago, I just started it off to make up for all of the enclosings that I had done the week before. I started the next message off enclosing. So at least we were that far into it. You know what this clock means on the wall to a preacher, right? Absolutely. It's like time in eternity. Time. Doesn't mean anything to me. It's for y'all. It's just so you can text your family, let them know he's still preaching. It's going to be another minute. Try to let them get us seated and take my, here's what I want, you know. Give me the number 12 combo, whatever it is. Anyway, let's go. Luke chapter 18, pretty pastoral message this morning, but don't miss it. Don't miss it. The last couple of weeks I've been met with a couple of comments, thankfully. Somebody just said, well, you're fired up today. There are things that fire me up, and there's things that should fire us up. But there is a deep meaning in this, and it's from Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 18. This is Jesus talking. And questions, he's fielding questions right here of what the end will look like. And he's talking about what the kingdom is and a little bit of what the kingdom is not. And he said it's not something that you're going to see like there it is or there it is over there. It's inside of you. The kingdom lives inside of you. That's why it's good for us to internalize things and to understand. He's trying to get a message on the inside of us. See, I grew up in a denomination that folks, good folks, I'm grateful for it, but they honestly, if I had to be honest with you, they focused a whole lot on the outward, the expression of how you looked. If they looked forward as I was a little boy in Sunday school being taught the word, if they could look into the future and see that I would have been standing up in front of you this morning with basically sneakers on and no tie, they would have said, no, you could never be that kind of preacher. Because that would have been an outward thing. Because a preacher would have need to have a brand new Bible and a nice suit of clothing on and all of those things. I knew when the Lord took my hair away, things were going to be different. Aren't y'all glad I don't wear a wig? Can I tell y'all things to be thankful for? Can I tell you, it still grows real good around here? And I shave that. I call it firing the quitters is when I shave my head. I fire the quitters. But if I let the quitters live, I'm telling you, it grows hard enough that I could have done one of these things. I could have looked like I was running for office. How about that? I can even things out. I can even them out. But you liked that one, didn't you? But anyway, what he really wants to do is work on the inside of us. And if he'll get, if we'll allow him to do the work on the inside, can I tell you, it'll fix the outside up just fine. Yeah. But that therein is, I guess it's called the rub. If we're not very careful, we'll look at other people's life and we'll judge our lives compared to their lives. Usually when we do that, we usually at least give ourselves a little bit higher than they got it. I remember when my brother, who was older than I, was the same, we're the same height. Even though he was a year and a half older than me, I was coming on. And I was going to pass him. Ultimately, he stopped at about 5'10". I stopped at 6". But can I tell you, those 2 inches, I came within 2 inches of my life doing that, because he couldn't stand it that I was growing taller than him. And we used to do these church pictures called that Olin Mills would come by. You know, that made it, that took a picture to another level. It had that gold stencil, Olin Mills. Well, I better look at this one, you know. I better tell you, that's a great picture because Olin Mills did it. But they would do that, and they had that cheap backdrop behind you that looked like something. I don't know what it was, but it looked good on. And they put that I was not just getting taller than my brother, because we would both give it this one, right? But when they said cheese, that was like, it was like Greek for stand on your tiptoes. And that's how we received it. But they gave me this little thing called an apple box. It made me about 2 or 3 inches taller. And I wasn't the oldest, but I got to stand on that apple box. And so I was just legitimately taller. And we were talking about that just in the past couple of weeks about. And he said, look at my fist, John. He said, look at my fist. In those pictures, my fists are already clenched. And I was smiling like this. And he was like this. Olin Mills, they couldn't crop that out. They couldn't airbrush that or whatever that thing is. They did Photoshop it. They couldn't do that. But if we judge ourselves against other people, it's easy for us to give ourselves the apple box and be just a little bit taller than they are. And the Bible says that's not wise. It's not wise to do that. Listen to Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus spoke. He spoke a parable to them that men ought always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's a really good direction of our prayer life right there, because other translations say faint. That we ought to pray and not faint. In other words, pray out of desperation, like a last ditch, like I've been holding on to this thing and I haven't given it to God yet, but when I give it to you, God, I got to unload this one, and you really need to get this one right, God. So we pray sometimes like that. That's not the right prayer. We're going to get to the right prayer in a little while. But he said that we should always pray, yes, but not lose heart, no. So we should pray, but not lose heart. Saying, here comes a parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man or have any respect for man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will vindicate her, or I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, this is a huge picture right here. There's a whole lot going on right here. But this is Jesus talking, and we've got a judge here that's a real piece of work. You got to be careful with authority in your life. You know, you've got one ultimate authority. And when you come in front of a judge, you expect the best, don't you? I saw a clip this week of a lawyer who said, with a stroke of a pen, I have the ability to write down a misdemeanor or a felony against you. And I can immediately strip away your rights with that. And a couple of weeks later, I can forget the whole thing happened. That's a tremendous, and they were saying, it's a tremendous amount of power that I have to be able to do that. Can I tell you that those that are in authority have a tremendous amount of power? And this lady right here who was coming on, and she had a need, and she was saying this. She's saying, get justice for me. It doesn't tell you exactly what had happened, but this woman wanted justice. The scripture before it said this. Jesus said that we should always pray and not faint, not become exasperated. And that's how she's coming. And he's drawing an example right here. He said, this woman, she came in saying, get justice for me. How often do our prayers include justice for us? God, you saw what happened. Everybody else doesn't know, but you know what happened, and this is what I deserve. And he's saying, don't come like that. Why? Because he already knows. He already knows. And you know this about God? He's got you in his purview and them in your purview. He knows the side that you say and the side that they say, and everything in between, and the truth, and the things that are embellished. He knows every bit of it, and he's the righteous judge. So in those days, it was a very common thing for Roman judges, because they were appointed by Roman government, to be viewed as people who were let's just call it shady. That they were actually viewed as being crooked, or the propensity to be crooked. A matter of fact, there's a Roman term that for Roman judges, with the twist of the word, the judge was supposed to, that person in authority was, it was the term that they would give them was a judge of honor. Or a robber judge. A judge of honor or a robber judge. And they were notorious for their decisions. And they were also notorious for being able to be bought off at cheap prices. One commentary said, even for a piece of meat, you could buy a judge off. Now, how would you like your fate to be decided over a Whopper? No. We want righteous judges, right? That's why when we go into a courtroom, we address a judge as what? Your Honor. Your Honor. Because we are believing that they're going to be righteous judges. We're believing that they're going to do what is right. And if we walk into their presence and we've done what's right, and they are righteous, honorable judges, we should expect, we have the right to expect an honorable outcome. If that's the case, why do we pray to God out of desperation? Why do we pray to God in like he said, don't come in here like you're about to faint. Don't come in desperate with me. You're my child. I'm telling you this. I've got two of my three children and one of my grandchildren and my son-in-law and my wife. None of them would ever have to come to me and say, Dad, please, Dad, please. We really need some milk in the house. Please. Can we get milk in the house? We really need some butter. Please, Dad, come on. We got to. I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to have the house stocked, right? Because they're my family. If he's my father, I've got a way that I can come to him. What would be, I know that we don't think of it like this, but a nice thing would be, Dad, thank you that we've always got milk and butter. You probably didn't recognize it, but we're a little low right now. Oh, I'll run right out and get it. Or here, you're old enough to drive down here. Run at the food line. Get it. Does that make sense? So if that makes sense in the Morgan household, why doesn't it make sense in the kingdom of God that we come to him with our list of things that we need? So here's this woman, and here's this judge. Now, something's happened to her, obviously, and she wants justice, and she's crying out for justice. But this judge is who he is. The Bible says he doesn't care about people. He cares about himself and what's in it for him. And the reason that she found favor in him is because she was making him weary. Can I tell you that the enemy makes us want to feel like we come to God and my prayer that I need must certainly make him weary? You ever prayed for anything more than one time? There's your proof right there. Because he does not give it to us instantaneously every time we ask him for something. Do you realize how abusive we would be with that? And there was a country song. I'm not a country song, country music. I think it was country. I'm not a country music fan, but I think it was a country song. It's called Unanswered Prayers. That might have been what? Okay, hey, Mr. Country Music right here. One of God's greatest gifts was unanswered prayer. Hey, he's gonna have his lighter out waving it in a second. Yeah, now I tapped into something right there, didn't I, Ernie? Now you know. But this is not a parallelism of who our Father is. God is not like that. As a matter of fact, what Jesus is saying about the Father is a sharp contrast. It's a very sharp contrast. Because God is such that he knows what we need before we ask it. Doesn't Scripture say that? And we believe that, don't we? Yet we still come at him as a proving ground. If we're not careful, we will bring our own view of our accomplishments into the request. God, you know, I've been good this week. I've really been doing good. And so here's your boy. And I'm just telling you, it's human nature. It's easy to do that. But God is not the robber judge. He's the good judge. He's the righteous judge. And in the fact that, here's what you need to get a picture of. He is looking at your eternal good, not your temporary good. And that's how we get into asking him for things on a temporary basis. We're doing a little bit of remodeling in our home, just a little bit. And we've had this, my wife and I, we've had this conversation now. Are we going to stay here forever? I don't know. But do we want to fix this up? We've had a leak in the house, so they tore up the linoleum. Do we want to come back with tile? Yeah, let's do that. But let's don't do everything to the house because we might not stay here. Let's don't put all of our eggs in one basket. Let's get this just in case things change. In other words, don't make big permanent decisions based on a temporary thing. But we come to God wanting a big temporary answer, but what he's looking at is the eternal thing. And what he's got to do is get us to where we're going to be there. Because I can tell you this, if he gave us everything that we asked for, heaven wouldn't look so good. Because why would I want to go there when I can have everything right here? Right? Okay. Stay with me, because this passage, it goes on. God knows what I need a long time before I even need it. So it goes on, it says this. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Oh, man. We just got a huge problem right there. We've got something really bad is going on right there. We cannot just jump past that. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Can I tell you that they're not righteous? You can't be righteous despising others. Can't. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Hallelujah. That's just so good right there. To know that two men were going up to the temple to pray. Man, if I knew two men were coming to pray, I'd be like, hey, I think I might meet y'all up there. What time are you going to get there? Are you guys went and prayed? Hey, that's awesome. Two men are praying. I'll take it. That's a win. Read this a little bit deeper and recognize another problem right here. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You may be reading a version right here that says that there was two men that went up. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. One was, I didn't say Republican. We're not. I thought that was kind of funny. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. So one was a Pharisee. And because we're on the side that goes to church and we know that Pharisees, they're rough. They're mean folks. They're against Jesus and all this. But if we went back in time, the Pharisees were a representation of the religious model at that time. So they'd actually be the church folk. So here goes this Pharisee up to the church. And it goes, there goes the Pharisee. Because the Bible in a different place describes him as, you know how the Pharisees are. They love to pray. Standing on the street corners. Loudly in the temples for everyone to hear what they've got to say. Wearing garments that reflected this relationship that everyone else would be able to perceive. I'm remember the apple box? I'm just a little bit better. Come here, Logan. Come here. My strong, strapping, taller than me son-in-law. Sit down, Logan. You see, just that easy. We do something to give ourselves just a little bit more, right? And these Pharisees, see, they got the picture. And we get some of the picture right here, but we didn't understand this. See, the Pharisees were the religious people. Can I tell you that's who you are? You're the religious people. From the outside looking, you're the people that go to church. You go to church. If people know you, I hope they know that you do go to church. I hope they know that much about you. I hope that you haven't just kept that a flat-out mystery to them. You go to church, but you would be at least considered those religious people. Now, the publican in those days, the tax collector, they were the worst of the worst. They were the hated people. They were the hated people. So here we get a scripture that says the religious man walked into the church, and the guy who was a real true sinner that was hated by people is also there, and they're both offering prayers. And the religious one, the Pharisee, is saying, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Can I tell you that that part of the prayer should be a part that we recognize? That honestly, I'm not like other men. I'm going to tell you, I mean, my role might make you think that I'm not like other men, but I can't just get by as calling myself pastor anymore and you thinking that, because here's the problem with you knowing that I'm a pastor. My fear is that you think I'm like a pastor or like pastors or like pastors that have fallen, because here's what happens. When one messes up, I get thrown right into the lump with them. That guy. Oh, you're one of those guys. But you do too. As Christians, see, Christianity became so broad that now it's an ugly term. Now it's a stain on your character. Now there's this Olympian who's broken all these records, and she's absolutely beautiful, but she's made a stand about her Christianity and about her salvation. And they said, don't you know that this is going to cost you endorsements, and don't you know this is going to cost you money? And her response to that is, she said, I'm not living my life for that. I live my life to worship Jesus, that my life bring glory to him. But it will demand attention, because her ability, if you saw any of it, you saw how she just left the whole track behind. The race was for second. I mean, it was never even for first. She could have fallen down in the race, went and got an x-ray, hobbled back across the line, and still won the gold medal. That's how bad she beat everybody. Only being a little bit facetious with that. But yet a platform has been given to her. And you've got a platform too in life. And you are either going to be on the right side of things, or the wrong side of things, or the worst part between the two. Been preaching all year. You can't live with a foot in two kingdoms. It's not going to allow it. You're going to get pushed out of one, and then you're just going to be fake. So what's going on right here is this guy, this religious man is saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And I just told you, there needs to be a part of that prayer that's true in us. I thank you that I'm not who I was. We just sang about that. I used to be this person. I am not that person anymore. That's why many times when we sing these songs, tears come to my eyes, because y'all don't know who I was, but I know who I was, and I know who he is, because he made me not who I was, and that's why I worship him. One of the reasons why. So, God, I can say, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm like men that have been forgiven. That's the other men that I'm like. But it gets nasty from right there, because the expression of his heart comes out. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax. Can you believe that somebody would pray that prayer? I'm not all these bad things, and especially I'm not like that dude over there. Well, that was actually an easy one for him because tax collectors were hated. So he's just joining in with the choir. Not like the guy that everybody hates over there. I'm not like that. And then here comes the apple box. I'm not like that dude. I fast twice a week. I fast twice a week. That church, it's not just a church. It's a memorial church because my grandfather gave the money for that land. He gave that land to the church. It's got my name on it. Just apple box me just a little bit. Just God, I fast. Should you be doing it? Yes, absolutely. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possessed. Well, then right there, that one at least should at least put him in front of the good graces of the pastor. Oh, he's a tither. Yes, he's one of the favorites right there. Apple box. He's calling out all the stuff that elevates himself. He's actually praying to God. Seems so wrong, but the truth is, we do a little bit of that. We do a little bit of that. We come to Him. With our, at least I'm not that. At least I'm not that guy. I'm certainly not like that guy. And I do these things. So can I tell you the trap of coming to God with a prayer like that? You have not raised God's awareness of your incredible abilities at all. The truth is, He's aware of everything. And because He's aware of everything, there's a way that we should approach Him every time. And it's coming up. Not from the religious person. From the bad guy. From the hated one. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the scripture says, I tell you, this is Jesus, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God knows what I need before I ask. Prayer, some of prayer is me asking God for something that I need. It has to be. That's the communication that I have with Him. But prayer is not really intended to get my will done on earth. Prayer is actually intended to get God's will done on earth. And in this scripture, it was definitely supposed the wrong way. Supposed the wrong. God, let me tell you what I need here. You ever prayed God? You ever given God your list and just told Him everything that you need? And have you ever just looked at that thing real close and thought, we use prayer, if we're not careful, as a means to inform God of some things. And the truth is, He already knows what we need before we ask it. And here's what He does. He knows what you need today. He knows what you're going to need in a week from now. He knows what you're going to need 6 months from now. Can I tell you that your prayer before God could be very different in 6 months than it is right now? So why not I pray? Why would I not pray according to His will? Pray according to His. I'm telling you, this seems like, Pastor, you've come hard the last 2 weeks, but today this is almost elementary. Is it? Is it? Is it? Because we come to Him in a certain way that does not always set us up for His answer. It sets us up to wonder why He hasn't answered our prayers. When all along He tells us we are to pray according to His will. Do you know that He has suffering in mind for some? Well, I'm not going to come to this church anymore. I'm going to go to the one where if I tithe, I'll get promises. Let me promise you something. If you're going to give anything to God thinking that you deserve something back from Him, you're going to be very disappointed and disillusioned. You've got to learn to accept whatever comes. Paul did it. Paul knew how to be happy in the best of times, and he knew how to be content in the very worst of times. So how I come to Him, not with a completed chore list or this trap of entitlement of all the things that I've done wrong. And how does this man pray? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our prayers should be on the basis of His grace and His mercy. The one earlier in the chapter, the one where the woman went to the judge, and this he's not saying, if we're not careful, we'll look at that the wrong way and think that if I just ask God for these things over and over again, certainly one of these times He's going to answer. Is that not what the Scripture said? That's not what the Scripture said. Be plain. Understand, be clear about that. Let me be clear. That's not what the Scripture is saying. This woman is saying, I want justice. And you're begging for justice from a guy who's not just. And he's only going to give you an answer because you keep bugging him to death. So should we just pray and keep praying and praying and praying? God, maybe one of these days I'll bug Him enough to say, okay, finally, I'm going to just get, if you'll leave me alone, I can go do something what I want to do. I'm just going to finally give it to you. That's not God. That's at least a very wrong interpretation of who He is. This Scripture, Jesus is saying, that's not who the Father is at all. He said, if you're a righteous person and you're praying His will, He will speedily do that for you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. She's not even asking for mercy. She's not asking for grace. She's asking for justice. Can I tell you, that's probably one of the most dangerous prayers that you could ever have coming to God. God, I want justice. No, you don't. Because if I got justice, here's the definition, getting what I deserve. Do we really want to come in front of Almighty God and say, give me what I deserve? That's what the prodigal son did. That's what this woman did, who's going to get an answer just because she keeps begging and keeps bugging. She obviously doesn't have a pound of beef to give this judge, or she would have already gotten her reward by now. Can't be bought off. But God is just. And there's a way that we come to Him. And Jesus Himself discerned it right there. Because discernment takes this. It takes recognizing what the truth is and drawing out of the truth what needs to happen. And what happened here is that we have a person over here who's making judgments about everybody except for themselves, putting the apple cart for themselves and getting up saying, I'm better than them and I'm not like that guy over there. Hear my prayer, Lord. And Jesus looks at that and he says, none of that. That man came in asking for mercy. That man goes away justified. You heard the term justified, just as if it never happened. Whatever the offense was, justified in layman's term means just as if it never took place. That's how I want to leave the judge's presence, just as if it never happened. I don't want to go into his presence saying, give me what I deserve. Wrong way to look at it. Mercy. Mercy over justice. Mercy is this. Not getting what I deserve. Then grace, I got a little bit in the mix of it last week. Y'all had grace for me, but grace is getting what I don't deserve. Mercy. Not getting what I deserve. There's a way that we come to Him. There's a way that we come to Him, and let me just... Now I just want to stand here and look at y'all for a second. Now that I can see you, there y'all are. Y'all were blurry. What were y'all doing being blurry for 30 minutes? You know, 30 minutes, because that's all I preach is 30 minutes, right? What this says to me is that if I'm going to please the Lord, and I'm going to get my prayers answered, because I'm going to spend this whole life needing prayers answered from God. I'm going to need to spend my whole life praying to God. I'm going to need His mercy. I'm going to need His grace. And one day the justice that I get will be because of His righteousness, not mine. But if all I do is look around at other people and based what I should be getting from up here, based on what I'm seeing out there, it is our natural propensity to apple cart ourselves. I'm doing better than them. Just wrong. It's just wrong. Our stance before God will always be an approach to Him, grateful for His mercy, thanking Him for His grace. Do you know that the prayer in the Bible, when He's teaching us to pray, that thanksgiving comes before our need? It really does. That we come to Him with gratitude even before we present to Him what the need is. That is a powerful concept. I've said before that we're trained to thank someone after we get the answer. But in the kingdom, we're supposed to thank first, knowing that the answer that comes to Him was going to be the better answer that we could have even thought of. Don't get stuck in the temporal. Get stuck in the eternal. Surprise, it's an election year. Our country's turned upside down right now. And the church did not get skipped over. We're right in the middle of the turmoil. My plan is to serve God through the month of November and beyond, trusting that whoever becomes the president of these United States, God already knows. And He won't hand off His role to anybody. He'll still be God. He'll still be the one that I'm depending on, the one that we're depending on. And if it's anybody, if I'm depending on anybody else, I'm in trouble. And you are too. I got thoughts. You got thoughts. I've made my thoughts known the last couple weeks. I'm glad some of y'all came back. But there's a right way to be. And if we're not careful, we will look at people just like ourselves, standing in the need of mercy, just like I'm standing in the need of mercy, and making judgments over them, when the truth is, I'm the one that needs mercy here, Lord. And if we keep that perspective, we're going to be able to make it through this life. Amen. I look at that clock right now and I'm just amazed. But I'm done. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you said in Jesus. You said it in Luke chapter 18. Such an incredible passage for us to just chew on. And chew on and chew on and to regurgitate and to chew on again and meditate on and over, break it apart and chew every bit of nutrition out of it. It's really just so much more than I've even said today. But there's a way to approach you in your righteousness. And there's a way to look at other men. And there's a place that we can come to you and receive an answer. And when we walk away, we will walk away justified. What an incredible thing. But there's also a way that we can walk away from you not justified, even though we've prayed. Not justified, even though we've given tithe. Justified, even though we've done some right things, even though we've obeyed some commandments. How sad it would be if we did some right things but walked away unjustified. It's not in the things that we do. It's in who you are inside of us. Because that will change, not only influence, but change who we are and how we act and what we do and what comes out of us. Lord, we've got to live a life that pleases you. We've got to live a life that we can be justified in your eyes. And that does not include comparing ourselves to other people. It includes us approaching you for the mercy that you have and trusting you, God. So let our trust be that your will in our lives is greater than anything that we could come up with on our own. And help us to trust that. As we live our lives for you, we don't live our lives for us anymore. Yes. Lord, I do believe that in times of turmoil and where we're at in history, that this line that's being drawn, there is going to be a group of people that have your favor and have your blessing. I want to be there. But I can't just want that into existence. I have to obey that into existence. Help me to be obedient to you and to your word. And to not allow my flesh to dictate my actions. Show me how to humbly live for you, Lord, in truth and in spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand?